I'm grateful I can greet you this morning in that precious name. I've been blessed already being here this morning worshiping with you. I count it a privilege. I'm not a farmer, but I have been blessed in driving through this community and seeing all the beauty of the earth and to see the harvest and to see those big fields with all those round bales. I said, I don't know if I've ever seen so many bales in one field. And so it's just an evidence of God's blessing upon your community. And maybe I had just a little trouble with envy because when I left home, it was warm and it was dry. And things were beginning to show that, but my wife did say we had several inches of rain since I'm gone. And so we rejoice in that. I count it a privilege to be here this morning, and it's not my first time being here. And in some ways, I feel a connection to you people, and if you don't mind, I'll give you a little history. And don't share this for any attention to myself, but for the glory of God. I think I was probably about 14 years old, living in the community of Catlett, when the church decided to start a Christian day school. And one of the older brothers there, he wasn't really that old at that time, as he seemed to me as a young person, thought it would be a good idea if the church would invite Dan Byler, Liddy's father, and Ruthie's as well, and grandfather to many of you, invite him to come speak about the Christian school. And so he did. He wasn't ordained yet, and I happened to be at that meeting that evening. Several years later, my sister, who was living in Minerva, Ohio, decided to move back to Virginia, and so I went up for the auction. I was 16 years old, and they told me that Sunday evenings they're going over to Middlefield. There's going to be a ordination there, and they had tent meetings, and there goes to be an ordination. And they told me Dan Byler is there, and I guess in my humanity or whatever you want to say, I said, well, Dan will probably be ordained. I didn't know who the other people were, of course, but sure enough, he was ordained that evening. And I was there with that, and I was also here when he passed on for his funeral. And he has been an inspiration to me in many ways. And through my journey of life, sometimes somebody would ask, are you related to Dan Byler? And I would say, I hope not. And, of course, they looked at me kind of funny, and they said, what's wrong with Dan Byler? I said, there's nothing wrong with Dan Byler. But my brother happens to be married to his daughter, so I hope we're not related. But in all honesty, we probably would be related down the line quite a ways. So it's been an inspiration to me as a Christian, as an individual, to be involved in his life, in many of your lives, as God gives us opportunity. I trust we recognize this morning that all of us, we're on a journey. And, you know, we have a beginning in this life. All of us did. But there's also, as we begin, we continue. And there's a journey. And since I was here, I think maybe about 28 months ago, there are many of your people, well, maybe I shouldn't say many, but quite a number have passed on. And you know, that's part of life. That's what our journey is all about. But the important thing is what we are doing in our journey and what our preparation is, what our goal is, and that we have a hope and a longing that when the death angel comes our way, that we can be in the presence of Jesus and be there forever. Isn't that marvelous as we think about that? And you know, even this journey is not always pleasant. There's struggles and difficulties. But we praise God, we can have hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And we praise Him for that. I enjoyed the Sunday school this morning. And the thing about, you know, politics came in and how we like to be noticed and etc. I wrote a quote down this morning. I wasn't sure if I was going to read it or not, but I think I will. I think it kind of fits in. It said, the church is not made up of people who are better than the rest, but of people who are trying to become better than they are. And I call that growth. I call that, that's what our journey is about. Growing closer to God and becoming more like Him and to be more like His likeness. This morning as we, I thought your superintendent was going to read my text, but he didn't. He did read one verse or so, but that's okay. If you will, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4. We had a dear neighbor who we lived across the road from us for nearly 40 couple years. And he experienced a lot of grief, a lot of struggles, trials in his life. And he was a widower for a number of years. And one morning after services, when I went to our mailbox in our church there, there was a little note, just not a very big one. And he let me know that he would appreciate if sometime I would preach on this text, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. And I went over to visit him sometime later and acknowledged his request. But I never got it preached until after his decease. But one thing that I do regret, that I did not sit down with him and say, "Brother, what have you received from the scripture? And what do you think is important to share from the scripture?" But anyhow, maybe about 2 years ago, this was probably about 5 years ago, I got this little note. About 2 years ago, one night I had a dream. It was just a little short dream. But I dreamed that this dear brother that had given me this little note and this suggestion was sitting there in the pew in our congregation, right at the aisle there, and he was looking straight up at the pulpit. And I took it that he's looking for me to preach that message. So I felt the Lord led me to do that. Just 2 Sundays ago, that family had a reunion with both parents aren't living anymore. And they asked me if I would share a message for them. And so I did. And I did use some of this same scripture. But I'd like to encourage us this morning, even though this is an Old Testament scripture. This is a beautiful scripture. When we think about Moses getting ready to depart from his journey of life and to go on to what God had in store for him. And he knew there would be another leader that would take his place. And so he used this opportunity to instruct the children of Israel, the people of God, about their journey and pled with them. And verse 9 simply says this, "Only take heed to thyself." And that's a message that is still important for us today. Rather than look across our glasses or underneath them at our brother, that we take heed to ourselves. Then it says, "And keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things that thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." That's tremendous. That's powerful. And I'm one that recognizes as a father, if it's one area that I've failed, and I'm sure I've failed in many, it is taking time to teach our son and our daughters about the things of God. I really believe it's important that we recognize that today that we're living in. Maybe a year or so ago. Well, it was right around Halloween. And in our men's Sunday school class, we were talking about this holiday, and one of the young brethren said he was at Walmart or wherever he was, and they started, "Are you ready for Halloween?" asked one of his children. And he confessed that he really didn't say what he should have about that. And he didn't use that opportunity. Then another young brother, he has two small children, then moved into our area. They were not from the Anabaptist faith. They were not Christians. Didn't live in a godly home. But they became converted and children of God. And they moved to our community and part of our congregation. And he proceeded to say, just that morning, his in-law and his mother-in-law was a twin, and her twin sister was along, and they were not Anabaptists. And on the way, they were talking about Halloween. And he said his little son piped up and told him why they didn't believe in it. And he said he kind of cringed, you know, as his little son was talking about this, wondering what's going to take place in this conversation. Afterward, I went to that young father and I said, I really appreciate what your son did. And I said, we Anabaptists that have grown up that way, we think our children automatically accept those things and get convictions without us really teaching. I said, you saw the need of teaching your young son godly principles and teachings, and he's responding to that, and he's telling his grandmother or whoever about what's right. And that blessed me. And I said, just continue on. But we fathers, we need to recognize that things don't just happen, that we have a responsibility as well. Now I'd like to read the first 13 verses of this scripture. Now therefore, it's just beautiful. I like the expressiveness of Moses here where he says, now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them. That's when he says, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add to the word unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Balafer and all the men that followed him. The Lord thy God has destroyed them from among you. But then in verse 4, but ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whether ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, which the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness, with clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. And this is a tremendous scripture, and we will be looking at these verses one by one. I'd like to share something else of a dear brother that a lot of you knew that, again, had some impact on my life, even though I did not meet him that often. When Robert and Lydia got married, and my wife and I were not married yet, but we were dating, and we went to the wedding. And Brother Andrew Stutzman from Holmes County preached the wedding message. I think that was it could be that he was at the ordination of Dan. I wouldn't be surprised, but I really don't know that for sure. But anyhow, maybe in the late 70s, I'm not quite sure. The chorus from Bethany at that time came to Virginia and they shared a program in our congregation. And on a Sunday morning, and Brother Andy was asked to preach. And him and his wife spent the night at our house. Our children were yet rather small at that time. And so that evening, Saturday evening, I said, "Brother Andy, would you be willing to share something with our family tomorrow morning for devotions?" And he said, "Yes." Unfortunately, I had to go over to Faith Mission for some church work that morning, that Sunday morning, and so I was not able to be to hear Andy preach. But that morning after we met there in our living room, and Brother Andy, I told him to share with our to share something with us as a family. And Brother Andy, I can still see him today. He pulled himself forward to the, you know, the front of the chair, and he leaned forward and he looked at our children, and as though they needed it, and they probably did, being never mine or ours. But anyhow, he turned to Proverbs chapter 4 and read the first 10 verses. And I'd like to read this to you this morning. He said this: "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou doest embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the words of thy life shall be, and the years of thy life shall be many." It was a blessing as I saw him lean forward there, intently reading the scripture and giving them instruction. And we fathers need to do that. We need to be faithful in that. But as he was sharing this, and his father, I think he wrote the book, Language of the Deathbed. I've been told he was an enlightened Amishman. And then he told our children this. He said, "My father, years ago, there was this young man that was going the wrong direction. And he said, my father went to this young man and he admonished him. And he said, young man, if you don't change your ways," and I don't know what all he told him, but he admonished him to consider his ways and turn his heart from the foolish life that he was living to God. And then he went on to say, he didn't mention any names. He went on to say that young man responded God came into his heart. And he said, today, there's six of that young man's sons are ministers of the gospel. And he said, two grandsons. And, you know, to me, that was just powerful, that someone took the time to touch a young man on the shoulder and admonish him to turn from his ways and turn to God. And, like I said, he didn't tell me who it was. He didn't tell us. I was excited. And that was Sunday mornings. On Wednesday evening, I was responsible to go to a home of a young family in our church, and our young people met there, and I was to teach them. This was still very fresh in my memory. And I knew that these young people had been to church on Sunday morning and heard Brother Andy share the message. And so I proceeded to tell these young people what Brother Andy did in our home, how he read from Proverbs 4 and instructed our children, encouraged them, and then how he told us about his father laying his hand on this young man. And as I was sharing that, all of a sudden the mother in that home got excited, and she said, "That was my grandfather." And her father, even though he's not in the same constituency, has preached many a powerful message and has been a tremendous encouragement to our congregation. And his son just had a week of revival for us a couple years ago. What a blessing. What a blessing. This morning, we don't know what all takes place when the seed is sown. Last summer, Brother Robert wasn't able to be there because of a funeral. We had a Bible reunion. There was only, out of 16, there was only two of us there that were still living. Robert, of course, would have been living, but he wasn't able to be there. But one brother, quite a bit older than I, was. You know, we try to reminisce about our father, our grandfather, and are there things that we can learn from them? And this brother, some older, he said he's not used to speaking in public. He was an Amish man, and he hesitated to do so, but he was emotional. He said, "I remember your father. There was a young boy from another state that moved into Delaware. This was back in the early 1900s, and it was about probably in the 20s. And he said he remembers that this boy was going the wrong direction. He said, I remember that your father went to him and pled with him. And he said, that young man says, I don't know where I'd be today if it wouldn't have been for his interest in my life. Fathers and mothers, we have a tremendous opportunity. You know, Joe talked about the hay fields, and I talked about it, all those round bales. But this morning, when these little children gathered up here this morning, they were products of your home. And the privilege and responsibility we have to receive them, embrace them, and teach them about the things of God. Maybe I'm getting a little excited in a different area than I started out. I don't know. But there's one thing that I believe. I remember Ina Schrock years ago said, what the United States needs is not stronger armies, but stronger homes, Christian homes. And I believe the Christian home today is one of the most powerful testimonies that there is. And may God help us to recognize that. Turning back to our scripture, I'd like to say this yet. Last Monday or Tuesday evening, I knew that Brother Andy had passed on. And our neighbor there close, his wife, member of our church, used to know Andy real good, lived up in Holmes County. And she knew that I had appreciation for Andy. So she brought this memorial folder over, as well as obituary. And she said, this is the only one I have, but I know you're interested in him. You were. And it's some very interesting things here. And so when you get finished, why, I'd like to have it back. So I thanked her. And it was a blessing to me to read the testimony of his life and his zeal for preaching the gospel. And he didn't matter where it was either. He was willing to expound the word of God. And that was a real blessing to me. All right, now going to our scripture again. I'd like to look at begin here in verse 1. Even though we've shared some of this, I would like to look at these verses one at a time here. All right, he says, Therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments, which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live. You know, Moses was concerned about their living, how they lived. And he said, he reminded them of the statutes and the judgments, which I teach you for to do them. You know, the commandments of God are given for us to respond to. To respond to obey, to teach, and to share with others, to live them out by the grace and power of God, not in our own strength. And it says, for to do them that ye may live. You know, we do a lot of things to live. But are we interested in the spiritual things? Are we interested as we go it through our journey of life that we can live? Live how? Live the life that God has called us to live. And may God help us to recognize that. And he says, and listen what else he says, for go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your father giveth you. This morning, are you excited about the land, about the promised place that God has promised you and me? Not only for those that went before us, not only the children of Israel back there in the Old Testament, but it's for us today. Think about it. When we pass from this life, and we're either going one place or the other. And if we're honest, we don't even want to think about the other place. But we want to praise God that he's provided provisions for us that we can enter the glories of heaven someday and be there in his presence and be there forever. Can you comprehend that? I can't fully. But it's going to be glorious. And Moses, he said this in verse 2. He said, Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I commanded you. I just saw in our daily paper last week that there was about 2,000 Methodist preachers got together in Virginia. They're getting ready for the Methodist Conference, World Conference, here in the U.S. And they're going to be needing to make some decisions. So these nearly 2,000 pastors got together to talk about same-sex marriage. And they took a vote. More than half thought they least should consider it. God have mercy upon us. I don't know where this came from, but our daughter-in-law said that she understands there are Protestant churches today that are saying because of our neglect in considering the Bible as far as divorce and remarriage is concerned, now today, this is what we're facing. I think there's a lot of truth to that. You know, if we start watering down one area of the scripture, we'll probably end up trying to find some more, water down some more areas. And of course, this one of the local Methodist pastors said, you know, it's really not up to us what the decision will be. And so that's what happens. If someone else is weak, we can get weak. As I think of this, you know, today as his people, God has chosen or called us out of Egypt to be his people. Think about it. Out of the world of sin and darkness into his marvelous light and life. He has promised us a piece of land. He has not promised us a piece of land, I should say, but he's promised us salvation through his Son and an eternal home in heaven. Are you excited about that this morning? Are you excited about that? And I trust you are. Then in the next verse there, verse 2, where it says, the law, the word of the Lord is perfect. And this morning, praise God, it's finished. We can no more add to the revelation of God than we can add to the finished work of Christ. It's complete. It's finished. The scriptures of truth cannot be broken so that no repairs is ever needed. It's perfect. It's forever settled in heaven. And we cannot change it. We need not change it. And I trust we do not want to change it. What a blessing as we think about that. Then going to verse 3. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Balafer. For all the men that followed him, the Lord thy God has destroyed them from among you. And you know, it's still going to happen. There's going to be a separation from those who do not follow the will of God or the plan of God. But then he says in verse 4, but ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. You know, that's how we continue the Christian life, by hanging on, by following it, by drinking of it, like Joe's cows, you know, looking for fresh food every day. And even though it's the same word that we've read many, many times over, you know, Joe's cows started the journey eating grass, and they'll keep right on till the end, eating the same stuff. And if we're children of God, then we appreciate the freshness of the Word of God by daily. Just the other day, I had a man, I was out in the yard working, and he drives in, and I knew him somewhat, but met him occasionally, but he always told me how he went to school with my wife, public school, and he was in her class, and he says some other nice things about her. And he came to me and he said, our pastor has left Methodist. Said we go there every Sunday. And he said, I just have some struggles. And would you have time to talk to me? And I said, sure. So we went in to my office there, and it was just a blessing to talk with him. And he began to share. He said, I used to always read the Bible every Sunday morning. But he's retired now. He said, but I am beginning of the year, I kind of became convicted that maybe I need to read the Bible every day. And I was blessed by that. And so he went on to tell me how they read the Bible every day, how he reads it. But he had some questions about it, and I tried to share with him. And he was concerned about his past life, the way he had lived. I assured him that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from part of them? No, from all of them. And that we do not need to fear the judgment if we are fessed up, so to speak, and our sins are under the blood, and we can have a daily relationship with him. What a blessing as we think about the Word of God and the privilege that it is to walk with him and to serve him. Then in verse 4 there, it says, but ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Unfailing. The word is faithful. It's eternal. Then in verse 5, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land, whether ye go to possess it. We're in this land. We're in this land of freedom. And we had a couple young men from California. Their sister is a nurse in our area and was living in a house which we used to have. And I never met these two young men before. And so they began to talk to me after the message about the things of God. And then we talked about Ken Miller's case. He was very versed in that. He's been following it. And then he said, he asked some questions about our people and some differences that he saw. And he said, I'm studying about the Anabaptist. And as we talked about Ken's case, he just said, more and more, those who are really want to live for the Lord, I think are going to be following the things that you believe in and teach, and are going to need to be standing for truth. And I was blessed by this as he said that. Then he even went so far to say, as one of these girls that were running from us was a Mennonite, wore a covering. And he said, my brother and I both were glad to see our sister come here and be with her. We hope she'll get conviction by being around her and start wearing the covering. They weren't taught that. But by studying the Word of God and searching things out, why, they were hoping that their sister would respond. And she hasn't yet, but I think she has maybe occasionally. But praise be to God that we have been taught about the things of God, the importance of it, and we're here this morning to live them by the grace of God and to pass them on to our children and to the oncoming generation, how important this really is. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgment, even the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whether ye go to possess it. Then in verse 6, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. You know, I don't believe our nation is going to agree with us, but I believe they'll have a certain amount of respect when they become convinced that we practice what we believe. We take the word of God serious, and we're not interested in compromising, but we want to stand upon the principles of the word of God. That we, in verse 6, in verse 6 there, keep therefore and do them. You know, sometimes we keep things that aren't of much value. And I was faced with that recently. I'd collected a lot of things, and it was, we moved, and what do we do with the things? I was talking to an auctioneer, and he said that a friend of his went to a millionaire, and he wanted to dispose some things. So he took him in the house, and he showed him all his things. And he said just the things inside were probably worth over $1 million. And as they went outside, the auctioneer looked at the millionaire, and he said, you know, you have a lot of stuff. He said, that's right. That's what it is, stuff. And maybe that's what we need to recognize. We're dealing with stuff. But when we're dealing with the word of God, it's eternal. It's more than stuff. It changes hearts and lives. Then in verse 7 there where it says, what nation is there so great? I had a man tell me recently, he said, you know, a lot of people talk about our nation, about our government and all that. But he said, there's never been a time when we have such a great nation as we are serving now and as we're living in and the freedom and everything. Some of us, as we look at the word of God, would have trouble agreeing with that. When we begin to stray away from the word of God, there's only one way we can go, and that's further and further away from the right way. What nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? Beautiful. What nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments as so righteous as all this law which I have set before you this day? Then in verse 9, again we have this admonition, this encouragement. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Isn't this tremendous as we stop and think about this? Moses says to his people, take heed. Take heed to thyself. Take heed to thyself. And then in the process, what are we to do? We're to keep our soul diligently. You know, the soul is eternal. The rest of it's flesh. It's going to decay. We'll have new bodies at the return. And some will be for eternal damnation, others unto eternal life. Praise God. But he says, keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen. Are we still clearly seeing with our spiritual eyes that God has given us and all the blessings that he showered upon us through his Son and through his Word? And then he says, unless they depart from the heart. First, we don't see them clearly with our eyes. And the result is going to be, departs from our heart. All the days from thy heart, all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Know the incorruptible word in the heart will beautify the whole character as a seed in the earth when it springs up, beautifies the whole field with a comeliness of its own. There's something powerful about seeds. There's something tremendously beautiful about seeds. They don't stay seeds. They shell dies, and life springs forth, and glory appears at the beauty of flowers or grain or grass or whatever it is. What a beauty. And you know, it's the same seed for hundreds of years that bring forth their beauty. I marvel at that. Used to have a tape by Dr. Wilson. He's been deceased for maybe 50 or more years. And recently I have diligently sought for that tape but could not find it. But he would give talks to colleges and high schools about nature. And then he would talk about, he said, all seeds have a 7, perfect number. Some take 7, some take 14, and so forth to develop. And then people would ask him, you know, why? I don't know. That was always his response. I don't know. But he knew who was responsible for the seeds, who made them productive. It was God. But I was always so blessed at his answers. He didn't claim to understand, but he believed. And he liked to talk about God in his greatness. And what a blessing as we think about that. You know, the words of God are enduring for us. They are enduring. And will bless us and will be as effectual to our believing children and our children's children if we teach them and pass them on. You know, the word of the Lord endureth forever. It has enduring purity, stability, influence, and faithfulness. May God help us to recognize that. Now I'd like to read a few more verses in verse 23 of chapter 4. Take heed unto yourselves, yes, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image, or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God has forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. We're serving a jealous God. Now in verse 29, I think maybe the brother read this morning. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord, with Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart, with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shall be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. What a tremendous scripture as we think about this Old Testament scripture. There are those that say, as Christians, all we need to do is read the New Testament. The old isn't necessary. But I tell you, it's a blessing to see the... And I just this morning read a scripture, maybe the brother read it, I can't remember, where it says... I can't find it. But praise be to God for his provisions for us. I came across a little quote this morning, if you don't firmly program your children's mind with truth, someone else will do so with half-truth, untruth, and unimportant truth, anonymous writer. Fathers and mothers, that's a powerful statement. If you don't firmly program your children's minds with truth, someone else will do so with half-truth, untruth, unimportant truth. Thank God we have truth in our home. We have the Word. It's eternal. It will ever be the same. And we praise God that we have it. I'd like to share a little something for the children this morning. And it's good for the daddy and mamas as well. Hold my hand, Daddy. A little girl and her father were crossing a bridge. The father was a bit unsure about the safety of the structure. So he asked his little daughter, he said, "Sweetheart, please hold my hand so that you don't fall into the river." The little girl said, "No, Daddy, you hold my hand." The father said, "What's the difference?" The father asked, "What's the difference?" The little girl responded, "There's a big difference." The little girl said, "If I hold your hand and something happens to me, chances are that I may let your hand go. But if you hold my hand, I know for sure that no matter what happens, you will never let my hand go." Do our children have that security? We have that security. But we also know the time may come when the Father will let his hand go if we choose to go the wrong direction. What a beautiful illustration of the faith of a child and the trust of the Father's hand. This morning, are we reaching out and trusting the Father's hand? Maybe I should ask Joan Ruth before I share this, but I didn't think about it. Maybe I even told this before, I'm not sure. I was here for a week of meetings a number of years ago, and the last Sunday morning after I preached, I was back there meeting the people, and you have glass doors there, and I looked out, and here comes Francie with a handbag across the yard, opened the door and came in and walked straight to me and gave me a gift. And if I remember right, it was a throw with the footsteps in the sand. We still have it today. When I received the word that she had passed on, that was such a, just to be able to see that in my mind, so to speak, was a blessing. I told her church, I think that was her ministry, to share with evangelists. I think I was right. Another blessing relating to that, some of you knew Eli Miller. We always call him Daughty Eli. Robert and I were 9 and 12 when our father died, and Eli and his wife moved next door. They had twins, and one died, and the other one was in 1W service, and they were kind of lonely people. They moved in our community and just not too far from us. And his wife kind of became like my second mother. And one day we had gone fishing, just a young boy with my neighbor, and came home, got the message that she'd passed on. And that was quite a blow to me as a 12 or 13-year-old boy. But it ended up that he married three times, and we moved to Search Raft within the same week. And so he was very special. He died at 96. And then his third wife died. The third marriage was longer than any of them. And they had an auction. First, they had a family auction. And I wasn't invited to that. That's okay. But then they announced after a certain time, after the children had bought everything they want, they'd have another auction for our church people or community folks. And so I went, and there was something I wanted, but of course the children had already chose that, and that's okay. They had the right to do so. And so anyhow, just as I was about ready to leave, I had a schedule I had to meet. I saw a box of books, and I went over and I kind of went through those books, and I was a little surprised that the children hadn't really got those themselves, but I bought them. And I asked the person in charge, could you put that box of books up pretty quickly and so I can have a chance to bid? And he did. And I went home and later, and I went through the books and started looking at those books, and here one of his Bibles that he used. Now, I knew Brother Eli well enough that he struggled with assurance of salvation. And so I found little papers in there that he had written as promises that he was claiming from the Word of God. And as I went further, I found this paper folded together. And here it was, the letter that Ruthie probably wrote about Francis' vision and about going to heaven. He had that in there. And that was such a blessing to me to go through that and find that reminder again. There is a heaven. There is life beyond. And praise God, we have all the provisions to go there. And I think you've had that experience many times, and we have too, in the last few years of our loved ones passing on. And especially when Brother Eli died, as I stood there at the grave, something went through me. You know, it takes faith to be saved. But it also takes faith to believe that we'll see him again. And to think about it, that body decays, but someday it'll come to life. All because of the same marvelous God. In last number of months, I've been thinking so much about the fact it's all about God. In Genesis it says, in the beginning, God. What did he do? He created heaven and earth. He created man and woman after his image. He instituted the Christian home. He instituted the church. It's all about God. And in these functions, that we function the way that he wants us to function, it's for the purpose of bringing praise and glory to his holy name. Shall we kneel in prayer? Our eternal Father, we come to you this morning at the close of this service to praise you, to honor you, to glorify you for your faithfulness, for providing for us. You did not only provide for Moses and the children of Israel, but we thank you that you're providing for us even in a more real way. Thank you for salvation, forgiveness of sins, restoration, redemption. We praise you that we can be in right standing with you. Thank you for each one present here this morning. Father, we pray you would work amongst us, works amongst this congregation in a way that you can be glorified and the message can continue to go on. Bless each home represented here today and draw them to yourself and further receive glory. We thank and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.